So we pray, Father, we receive this morning wisdom and insight in your word. We ask that you grant us for the light, the knowledge of your Son Jesus, that there be no error, but just precision and accuracy in the way it's taught, the way it's received this morning, that we behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel 24, still on the law, understanding the law and the prophets. Now, he says in verse 25, O fools, he said unto them, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Now, what was the problem here? What was Jesus addressing? He was addressing a discussion. There was a discussion before he made this statement. And you could backtrack to verse 14, basically. There were these folks, they were his own people. And the Bible records, as Luke records, that they talked together of all of these things that had happened. You know, they were discussing 3 days, basically, Jesus' capture and his arrest, as it were. And then the fact that he was eventually judged and he was eventually killed. So they were discussing that. And as they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them in verse 15. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And then in verse 17, he says, what manner of communications you guys having? You know, are these that you have one another as you walk and are sad? One of them whose name was Cleopas answered, says, are you a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things? Please mark the word things. Don't forget we started with verse 14, these things. Then again it says, the things which are come to pass here in these days. Then he said unto them, what things? So pay attention here. He said, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth. So really, they were talking about Jesus. Alright? They were talking about him. So he says, what things? They were having things they were discussing. What things are you talking about? He said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Right? He didn't call him Christ. Where is God? I said, praise God. Yes, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Which was a prophet, mighty indeed. And word before God and all the people. Notice what they called him. They called him what? A prophet. What did they call him? A prophet. Right. So, and our the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Look at 21. And we trusted. They said, and we trusted that it had been he that would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And where they found not his body, they made us astonished. Now, they're surprised about this. They came saying that they had seen, also in a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. So, they were talking about what happened to Jesus from a purely human or sense knowledge perspective. As I said, what things? So the impression they had about Jesus was just what everybody had on the streets. And these were folks who were supposed to be his disciples. And they just spoke about he was taken. We hoped that he will redeem Israel, and then we thought that he would do this. We thought that he's going to do that. So he now tells them in 25, oh, ooh. That's not too nice a word, but that's exactly what it is. Oh, fools, and the word is anoitos in the Greek, anoitos, is someone who has not reasoned through a matter. He hasn't reasoned through. Oh, fools. He hasn't reasoned through. Oftentimes, when you find that word foolish, is when your mind is on something else. For example, when Paul calls the church at Galatia, "O foolish Galatians," two times he calls it, Galatians 3:1, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Are you so foolish?" Verse 3, emphasis. Hallelujah. "O foolish, are you so foolish?" So there's foolish, there's also so foolish. Hallelujah. You know, I say, "For God so loved the world, then are you so foolish?" Emotional emphasis, passionate, amen, in fact. So he says, "You're so foolish." That is, your mind was on something else. So when you have the word foolish there, it is slow of heart, it says, to believe. Brados, using James 1:19, be slow to speak. Brados, slow of heart to believe all the prophets spoke. So their minds was on something else. He didn't expect their minds to be on what everybody was saying. So their foolishness was that they were not placing their focus on the scriptures. In other words, he expects us to know him from the written word. Are you following what I'm saying here? He expects us from the written word. That's why the high point of revelation in the epistles came from a man that wasn't around when Jesus was living in Jerusalem. Because he captured the revelation of Jesus from the written word. Say, "Oh, fools, slow of heart." You feel that, but what did they say? They gave the accurate account. They said exactly what's going on. They just gave you the gist. And he says, "No, that's foolishness. Your mind should not be on that. Your mind should be on what the Spirit says." And that's the point. He says, "Oh, fools, slow of heart." So he was telling them, or pointing out their foolishness because they focused their attention or placed their attention on sense knowledge. Sense knowledge. I'll talk about it in the second sense. But you know, some folks are so really, really so funny that all they know about Jesus is a picture of a man who has some small beard, long hair, and is a white man. That's the best they know. They don't know what is written about him. So he says, "Oh, fools, slow of heart, to believe all the other prophets have spoken." So he says, notice the, I told you to make, put some emphasis on 14, these things. Then on 17, you know, on 18, the things. On 19, what things? Alright, so he says, "Oh, fools, slow of heart, to believe all this that the prophet has spoken." Remember the word all? Okay. "All this that the prophet has spoken. Ought not the Christ who have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" You know, all through their discussions, they never mentioned the scriptures. And so they were perplexed rather than being faith. They never mention the scriptures. So it says, "To believe all things, ought not Christ to have suffered these things?" Hallelujah. These things. So foolishness is when you take your attention off the written word and then you put it on experience. He says, ought not Christ, that this ought to have happened. That is, if you had put your attention on the scriptures, you would not be sad. Hallelujah. You will not be perplexed. Sometimes we go through emotional reactions and we think we've been, you know, not just you say, they really love Jesus. Say, why? They were sad. Really sad that he died. Oh, they were sad. See how they are crying. You feel that he's saying that's foolishness. Because if you are stayed with the scriptures, you will not be carried away in the senses. You know, even till date, you still find people cry when they watch a film about a Jesus or any Jesus kind of Jesus. And they are crying. Ah! Oh my God! Oh my, even though it's acting, oh my God! Someone told me, he said, "Now I can feel what really happened to Jesus Christ." I said, "Why?" I said, "He watched a movie. Ah, Jesus suffered for us, oh. He suffered for us, as Lazarus laughing at him. Because he was elderly, I couldn't just say, oh, fool. You are not even slow of heart. Your heart has stopped. Because what in the world are you doing? What's that for?
Jesus, why did they do that to you? You know, and you feel that, what's wrong with you? Is he your boyfriend? You know, you be saying.
You get emotional when you are not following the scriptures. That's what he's saying here. So, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, pay attention to something. You know, they didn't have a problem. Okay, the issue they had there wasn't the fact that he was crucified or that he was taken, he was buried. The issue they had, where they were perplexed, was that they didn't see him. Right? They didn't see him. That's why they were perplexed. Where is he? This is the third day. Where is he? And he says, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, he's not rebuking them for the fact that Jesus, that he died. He's not rebuking them for the fact that he was buried. He's rebuking them for the fact that they should have known that he had been raised from the dead without seeing it. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? They should have known because everything that happened to him was written. They were all written. So they should have known. So that means they didn't have to see his vision or his pictures to know. Why? Because the prophet had already spoken that. In other words, pay attention. That means that the key issue in the prophecy of the prophets is the resurrection of Christ. Because when he says, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter the glory. Don't forget, these things that they were discussing was his sufferings that they all saw. Okay? And to enter into his glory. In other words, the focus of his prophecy, of the prophecies, was what? The resurrection of Christ. That's the focus. The resurrection of Christ. Let's listen to that now. You know, we said, remember that the prophecies or the prophets preached the word of faith. Remember that? Remember that? Come on, remember that. That the prophets did what? They preached the word of faith. In other words, the word of faith on the lips of the prophets is the resurrection of Jesus. The promise in their words, the promise of faith, or better, the promise of their message was the resurrection of Jesus. So, write this down. The word of faith, definitely the word of faith is the resurrection of Christ. I'll take it one more time. The word of faith, the message of faith is the resurrection of Jesus. Pay attention now. Faith in the old covenant was not in the death of Jesus or in the burial of Jesus. It was focused on the resurrection of Jesus. The message of faith in the old covenant is the resurrection of Jesus. Because that's where salvation lies. Go to Romans 10. All that the prophets have spoken. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Look at this. Look at where salvation is. He says, who shall ascend unto heaven, say not in your heart, verse 6, to bring down Christ from above? Who shall descend from the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? Look at verse 8, Romans 10. What's it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that what? Not believe that he died for your sins. No. No. That God raised him up from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. That already includes his death for sins. But the faith of the gospel is faith in the resurrection. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? That's where salvation is. That God raised him from the dead is the word of faith. That's where the word of faith is. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Remember, I don't know which study we did a couple of weeks back, and I showed you that the epistles spoke more of Jesus' resurrection than his death. Remember that? Which study was that? Huh? So we're salvation, right? The epistles focus more on his resurrection than his death. So the message really is his resurrection. Are you still there? Are you still there? Look at this, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if you hear his resurrection, that means he must have died to be resurrected. Praise God. Alright, look at this. 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you, verse 3, or first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now imagine you stop there. That can be the gospel. Then he says, how that he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's where the faith of the gospel is. Do you know that? Let me give you an instance. You may not necessarily, you don't need much faith to know that Jesus died. Just some historical records can tell you that he died. I think so. It's just my faith. The folks who saw him die, for example, in Israel, they knew he died. They heard about it. They saw him die. Thousands of them saw him die. There's no faith in knowing he died. Now, there's faith in knowing what he died for. That's understanding. But where faith is that he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. You see that? Are you still there? That he rose from the dead. Look at verse 14. Let's take it first, 14. 1 Corinthians 15. Are you there? Let's read it together. Let's go. And if Christ be not... come on, let's go. Then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. If Christ, he didn't say Christ didn't die. If he's not risen, then your preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. Look at 17. One more time. Let's go. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. So, it's so crucial to realize that the object of the prophecies of the prophets of the Old Covenant was a resurrection of Jesus. That's the word of faith. Listen carefully now. That's what brings faith. That's the message of faith. The fact that he was raised from the dead and is alive. Hallelujah. So our gospel is not that Christ died. Our gospel is that he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. That's where faith is. That's where faith is found. Look at this. Look at, we said the prophets prophesied. Let's look at David, for example. Acts 2. David was the first prophet. Alright? No, but second one. The first prophet quoted concerning the work of Jesus, concerning the finished work of redemption. He's the first prophet quoted. Joel was quoted, but that's about the outpouring of the Spirit. Acts 2:25. For David speaks, pay attention here now. I'm going to show you a crucial detail. Crucial detail. For David speaks concerning him. Hallelujah. Concerning him. Right? I foresaw the Lord. Pay attention. Always before my face. For he is at my right and that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, verse 26, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Now this verse is for what? Resurrection. Are you there? Come on, are you there? 27. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with your countenance. You know that song? In your presence. Pleasures forevermore. That's what he means. That's the scripture here. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto your patriarch David, for his body and buried, and the sepulchre is with us unto this day. Now, run quickly to verse 31. Let's say 31 together. He's seen this before. Everybody, let's go. He's seen this before. Spake of what? So what was his prophecy about? Of Christ. That his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. That was the focus of his prophecy. So what's the gospel in the prophecy of David will be what? That his soul was not left in hell. That he was raised from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus is the gospel. You still there? Are you still there? Look at Acts 13. You know, we said that we can find the gospel. Are you there? We can find the gospel in the Old Testament. We can find the gospel in the prophets. We'll find the gospel, the word of faith, in the Old Testament. Look at this. Acts 13, 4. Acts 13. Verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are witnesses unto the people. Let's take verse 32 together to 31. Let's go. And we declare unto you, Acts 13, let's go ahead one more time. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children. In that he raised up Jesus again, as in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So, what was the promise? Huh? Remember, the promise has to be what I'm going to do. The promise was what? That he raised up Jesus from the dead. So, in other words, that is the gospel. That's the word of faith. That Jesus Christ is alive. That he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. So, go back to Acts 2. Now, pay attention to this very, very critical detail. Pay attention now. Look at 25. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Then look at 31. He's seen this before, the same word. I foresaw the Lord. That's David speaking now. I foresaw the Lord. Then he's saying, he's seen this before. Now, those words are the Greek word, pro-raho. P-R-R-O-R-A-O. P-R-R-O-R-A-O. Two words. Oraho. Oraho is H-O-R-A-O. Oraho means to see. That's all it means. To see. Pro means to see it before it happened. Proraho. To see it before it happened. Or proraho. I foresaw the Lord. Now, listen well. Listen well. Listen well. Listen very well. So, I foresaw the Lord. David seeing before. Now, did you notice that whenever we read about the prophets and the resurrection of Jesus, we're always saying what they said. Not what they saw. Because we found out that they didn't have revelation. Remember that? Remember that? I had not seen. He hadn't heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. Remember that? 1 Corinthians 2:9. Jesus said in Matthew 13, he says, the prophets, verse 17, desire to see the things that you see, and they have not seen it. So, why would you now say, David saw? Hallelujah. Is there a contradiction there? No, there's none. Why would you say David saw? We just said Matthew 13, 17. They couldn't see it. Look at Matthew 13, 17. Look at it. Prophets desire to see the things that you see. They haven't seen it. Prophets and kings, including David. Matthew 13, 17. Have you seen it? Huh? Have you seen it? You have it? Prophets and kings. And they haven't seen it. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. Sorry, I'm borrowing your Bible. Because mine is far from me. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 says, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves,
But unto us did they minister the same things? Not revealed to them. So how could you now say David saw? Hallelujah. Still out there? How could you see David saw? No, but you notice that in verse 25 and 31. Look at the opening statement. Verse 25, 31. Acts 2. Let's go. Read it. Huh? Acts 2. I'm saying Acts 2. What did he say? 25. David speaks. Acts 31. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. So, where was the seeing? The seeing was in the utterance. The seeing was in the utterance. Because the message of the prophets was not in visions. It was in words. Hallelujah. The seeing was in the utterance. So don't picture that you thought that David saw Jesus. He saw the grave open. No, no, no. The seeing was in the utterance. It was in the utterance. Because if you notice, the seeing of David, that means they themselves, that's the prophets, their faith was in the utterance that they gave. Then you have anybody talk to them in their ears? No. It was the same utterance they gave. Who has believed our report? That's the same thing. They will speak by the Spirit, right? Don't forget the word of the Spirit. They'll speak by the Spirit, and they'll have faith in it. That's why I said it was not revealed unto them. They didn't minister the things to us. So the seeing of David was in the speaking. Not that he saw anything. It was in the speaking. The message is in words and not a vision. The message is where? In words and not what? Vision. The message is in words and not a vision. Now, we're probably going to look at John, not today, maybe next week. John. The message was in words and not a vision. Did they have visions? Of course they did. But the message was not in words. In visions, the message was in words. What they said. And that's the only reason why we can call the words euangelism. That is the gospel. It has to be said. So it was in their utterance that we found the resurrection of Jesus. Not in their sights. It was in the utterance that we can find the revelation of Jesus. Now pay attention. Look at John. John, who is reputed to be the chief of the prophets. John 1. John 1, 29. Behold the Lamb of God. John said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He's prophesying. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man that is preferred before me, for he was before me. I knew him not that I should be manifest, therefore I have come baptizing with water. And bore record, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descend and remaining, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bore record that this is the Son of God. So, what's the most important thing he said about Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. And he says, behold, my beloved son, whom I will please. So watch, this is important. Utterances are more reliable than pictures. Utterances are more reliable than pictures. Do you know that, for example, do you know what he said he saw about the Spirit descending on Jesus and all that? It has different interpretations. That's how pictures are like. Different interpretations. What does it really mean? Well, it means that Jesus and it means that. But utterances carry the truth. They carry the fact. So in his utterance, his utterance was the clearest of everything he engaged concerning Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. That summarizes Jesus' walk. So the utterances were more reliable or are more reliable than the visions. The utterances are more reliable than the visions. Look at John 8. Abraham, for example. Abraham, verse 56. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and he was glad. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. How did Abraham see his day? Abraham saw his day by faith. There is no faith in a vision. Faith is in works. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Hebrews 11 tells us, he saw it by faith. He spoke about it. Abraham spoke about his day. So when you find the word see, you probably have to read quietly and say, sometimes he's just talking about the utterances. He saw. So in the words, he saw. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. You are here. You say, well, I have seen Jesus raised from the dead. Someone said, how do you know? I said, by faith. Praise God. It's by faith. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. In words. So the revelation, pay attention now, or the disclosure of the gospel in the prophets were in words. They're in the words. That's why I said, ought not you all slow of heart to believe all that the prophets, these are all the prophets had seen, or they are what? Spoken. Remember, we've done that study before, that every time they talk about the prophets and the gospel in the old covenant, it is what? Said. I had not seen, he had not heard, neither has it said to the heart of man, nor is this a mouth has not spoken. Because that verse was spoken. Mouth was spoken. It is the desire to see those things that you see and they didn't see it. No desire to say those things. Because everything that Jesus did had been spoken. Everything. Everything that is in the epistles was spoken before. But it wasn't seen. So the seeing that we read of the old covenant was what? In words. Someone say words. Good. Don't forget again what we said. And you know why we have to be very careful about what they saw is this. When a man, you know, we know that those folks in the Old Testament were spiritually dead. When someone is spiritually dead, we can rely on his words more than what he can see. When he's spiritually dead. Hallelujah. And that tells me something, that words are so powerful that even if man is spiritually dead, he can contact faith in his words. In his words. So, these folks, David, all of them, were spiritually dead. Remember we said that in all their utterance, was it last week or 2 weeks back, that they had faith and the law present. Remember that? They had faith and the law. We saw it from Moses.
They had faith, they had the law. So it was, well, we don't do the Old Testament again. You're a joke. Because you're lazy. The Old Testament had faith and had the law, right? Moses, you know what we said? Moses was not all by law. Moses was also a faith preacher. Remember that? He preached the word of faith. He preached the gospel. It depends on what you're reading. So the same way, David was just like that. But don't forget, these folks were spiritually dead. Unfortunately, in some Christian circles today, they are the heroes of the faith. Heroes of the faith. You do a whole series. Ah. How many people want to be like David here? You raise your hand. And the David they are talking about is the Old Testament. And that's why, when the Bible says you have what you say, you say they are not growing spiritually, it's because they are like David. Romans chapter 8 verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, look at it, Romans 8 2. In Christ Jesus, hallelujah, has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life, where? In Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, when you say the law of sin and death, it's not two principles. Oh. The law of sin, which is death. So the law is of death. What does death do? It death. Death kills. Right? So wait one more time. What is the law called? The law of death. Leave the whole scene first. It's called the law of what? Nomos is the word law, which means a principle, a regulation. So in other words, pay attention. When I say the law of death, and I say the law of commercial transactions, that means this law guides commercial transactions. The law of traffic lights. Something like that. So when I say the principle or the law, the regulations of death, that means it's for dead people. Right? You get it? The law of sin and death is a law of sin, which is death. That is the law of dead people. It's for dead people. That's why Paul will say, 1 Timothy 1:9, he says the law was not made for righteous men. The law was made for sinners. The law was made for dead people. Spiritually dead people. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 3. The law was made for dead people. Look at verse 3. For as much as you manifest declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us with not a wink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to God's word, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us what? Pay attention. Made us what? Ministers of what? The New Testament. Not of the letter. Now what is the letter? Huh? Okay. Go on, but of the Spirit. For the letter what? Killeth. The law kills. Because it's the law for dead people. The law kills. And how does it kill? It doesn't kill by first bringing out a sword or a dagger. It tells you exactly how it does it. The law of sin and death. It says the law
The Lord, and people funnily say, the letter killer there talking about the written word. So what is the spirit? The unwritten word. You are tired. For if the ministration of what? Death. That is, the law ministers death. To minister it. Have you ever gone to a restaurant? A restaurant is where they serve you, I guess. Am I right? Or restaurant. Okay, restaurant. And then you go and they serve you. And everything on their menu is death. Is that all you have here? That's what we cook here. The law is a ministration of death. That's the reason why it was given. The law is a ministration of death. The law. Watch this now. How does it do it? It was glorious. Look at verse. Let's take verse 9 together. For if the ministration of death, of condemnation, sorry, be glorious. So what is it called? Condemnation. So it ministers death, first of all, by condemning you. You can never have joy in the law. The law is set out to just say you are guilty. So he's saying, so when he says the letter killeth, he's saying that's what he does. It will always make you guilty. The letter killeth. But the Spirit gives life. He calls that ministration of righteousness. He calls death condemnation. He calls life righteousness. Are you still there? Good. So, pay attention. Why is it like that? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 13. Romans 5:13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Sin is not imputed where there is no law. Until the law. Sin was in the world. Now, sin is not imputed means the logizomai. Sin wasn't accounted for. That means everything was the same. Now, imputed means to begin to keep records. Sin, pay attention to this now. Sin, singular, alright, a noun, was in the world, but it wasn't accounted. When it now became logizomai, it now got recorded, then sin started having definitions. Lying, stealing, fornication, until the law, sin was not so defined. So sin had a singular focus until the law. And that's a bit tough for now, but let's just leave that. So it's not recorded until the law. So when it was split up, as it were, okay, and we had, you know, sins, it was to kill, in the sense, to condemn. So, in Matthew 13, because of this, he says, they wanted to see, they couldn't see. They wanted to hear, they couldn't hear. Matthew 13. And that had a lot to do, Matthew 13, 17. Look at verse 34. Matthew 13. And the mode of speaking was this. In verse 35, we'll come into this one later. I'll open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which were kept secret from the foundation of the world. So we have prophets who equally were spiritually dead. So the prophets of the Old Testament were spiritually dead prophets. How about that? That prophet is dead, though. What do you mean? That prophet is spiritually dead. Yet, he is a prophet. So, you have a prophet in the New Covenant. You abandon that one. And you go for a spiritually dead prophet. You are not any different from those who go to the riverside to talk to a prophet. You're not any different because they were spiritually dead. The prophets of the Old Testament were spiritually dead. That's why they couldn't see. They can only speak. First Peter 1.
I remember one guy was talking to me a couple of years back when school. He said, I can see your ministry is a priestly ministry under the order of Melchizedek. I said, return to sender.
Does it not amaze you? This is important. This is vital. That Paul doesn't use the word priest.
Paul doesn't use the word priest. Hallelujah. Doesn't use the word priest. Paul doesn't call Jesus high priest. Glory to God. So our ministry is a priesthood ministry. We go to God on behalf of the people, and then God sends us to the people on behalf of God. I think that's what it means. Do you know that the priesthood ministry, the high priest, do you know that Melchizedek was never called the high priest? Melchizedek was called a priest. A high priest is a function of the law. He was never called high priest. Hallelujah. Paul never used it. Paul didn't even find any space for Melchizedek in all his writings. Hallelujah. Amen. So sometimes we glorify things and wonder, why are you majoring on this? Something in humanity likes types and shadows. It's our second service. Let me rush. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. So, can we all see that the prophets were dead? Dead yet speaking. Dead men. Now, you are alive and you're relying on a man who was there. Glory to God. Look at the first bit of the one. That's why we decided we can mark their scripts. I think the living should mark the scripts of the dead. I guess so. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. You know, if he can tell you they inquired and they searched diligently, the prophets. How many of you have done searches before? You've done a search on Google. Google is easy today. He said, I put your name on Google and nothing came out. And that's serious subject. Google came back with nothing. Well, look at that. So he says, they searched. Now, that word inquired is the word exeto. The prophets. Does that include David? Isaiah? Jeremiah? Okay, good. They searched. Exzeto. Exeto. Exeto. You find it in Luke 11:50. And then Luke 11:51. Then Acts 15:17, Romans 3:11. Are you there? All right. It's to investigate, to beg, to crave for something, to want something badly. So they were inquiring. So what can we call the prophets? They were asking questions. Are you there? They were what? Asking questions. Sometimes those questions have become people's doctrines. Is the Lord's hand shortened to save you? I'll answer you. Say, brethren, the Lord cannot save you. How can you want the Lord to, you want the Lord to have mercy on you and you still sin? I kind of felt, I don't understand. Sometimes some people just need to speak good English. Not necessarily to do any exegesis, just dictionary. Now, they were begging. Yeah, look at two words. Inquired and searched what? And searched diligently. Two words. The second word is exeruano. I'll spell it for you. E-X-E, to search diligently, one word. E-X-E-R-A-U-N-A-O. E-X-E-R-A-U-N-A-O. Exeruano. Ranao, sorry. Now, this is to reinforce. You know, when I say you search, the first one is that to be asking questions. You get it? To be asking questions. You're asking the way you put something on Google and you say how to be a millionaire, something like that. Huh? You'll find options. Ritual killing. 419. what is this one now? Networking. What do we have? Well, sometimes seed sowing. Okay, you know, someone asked me a question. He said, why, how come the church in Jerusalem, they became, as it were, poor, get it, by accident? He said, because they were giving. That's why they became poor. They were given. People who would have had houses as investments for the rainy day, they sold them and put their proceeds for believers who had none. Praise God. That's totally anti some prosperity preaching. Is your seed not in the ground? Your seed should speak for you. Now watch this. I know why I said that. So they were searching how to be a millionaire. No, sorry. That's a mistake. So the first search is that inquiry was that you are looking for an answer. You're looking for an answer. So you throw the dice. So when you throw, you say, well, where is salvation from? You have, even if you put Jesus on Google today, you have like 200,000 answers. A false preacher. He never existed. He never was. You know. And then stuff like that. So you will always. So whenever you inquire, you will have what? Many things. And their books were full of inquiries. Now, the second word was they searched diligently. Exe raunau. That means, wait, to explore out. So that means the first search, the second is what they now got out of it. Let me ask you, in their writings, which one will be mostly seen? The first. Are you there? Let me say it again. If I put out a search and I say, okay, something like that. We're looking for intelligent, high-flying marketers, brilliant, swerve, can speak good English, stuff like that. Pretty, you know, just like, have you watched all these, what do you call it, music contests? Everybody will come.
I mean, I remember one guy in one of these, was it the multinational, and he said, on the last day, holy truth. This one came by grace. So, but you know, at the end of the day, alright, we'll now find what we're looking for. Maybe just one person, or two, or three. But our list will have all sorts of applicants. Somebody will say, he's fine. I'm wondering, just get a mirror. A mirror will do you justice. So, which one will be more on our list? Everything. So, that means, that's why the Old Testament is that big. You know, the epistles are the revelation of the Old Testament, and how many pages? How many pages? Whereas the one that was inquiring was so much questions, finding out, looking for answers. Are you following what I'm saying? So that's what they were. So when you find the word exaron, it's two words, ek, ek, out, erauno, A-R-E-R-A-U-N-O, to explore out. I'm not sure I've done exploration here before. You bring out all sorts of things. You're looking for precious stones, all sorts of things will come out. Then you begin to separate them, right? Oftentimes, what's the expensive will be few, but there'll be a lot of dirt. So what you really need in the Old Testament is not so much. Hallelujah. So they inquired, Google search. They searched diligently. They now brought out of all their inquiries, the message. So, you find that word, exaruano, John 5:39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. John 7:52. Romans 8:27. He that searches the hearts. Alright. So, the gospel, I wrote this down. This implies that the word of faith or the gospel will be found amongst many things. You get it? Christ? Don't say everything the prophet said is Christ. That will be rubbish. You know, we said it from the onset in this series. To believe all the prophets have spoken. To believe all this that the prophets have spoken concerning Jesus. Because we found that to believe will mean there's faith. There wasn't faith in all they said, but there was faith in some of the things that they said. Are you still there? So when you handle Bible, that's the Old Testament, you have Google search. Even some of our names, you put your name on Google, you find that some people will call you the president of a nation. Yeah, you will know you are not. So, in a Google search, you will find all sorts of things said by Isaiah. But when you narrow your search to what exactly did we find, you'll find the words of Jesus. Are you still there? Are you there? Why were they searching? Because they were spiritually dead. They were spiritually dead. So they were searching, they were inquiring, they were asking questions. They were seeking to know. They were seeking to know. They were spiritually dead. Now, interestingly, how did they search? They searched in utterances. Ha! So you will find Christ in the midst of all sorts. Have you seen that? Sometimes they're talking, and you say, what are you? This is contradictory. They're searching. In one bit, they will call God, I am he that killeth and maketh alive. That means when they threw the search on Google, they saw kill and make alive. I'm he that killeth and make alive. Has evil been done in the land, and I, the Lord, have not done it? What's going on? They are searching. And some guys who hold that scripture say, brethren, let us be careful.
I saw one devotional, you know, and I'm wondering, they wrote a book, a devotional for children. And he said, Jephthah, kill the child. That the anger of the Lord can kill children. It's a major devotional in this country. In this country. Yoruba say, inability to speak is the beginning of foolishness. I don't know how to say it in English. Hallelujah. How can you write a book for kids? There was one service like that. And then, that service never leaves my mind. Little children, this is the house of God. Be quiet. Be quiet. The Spirit of God can get angry. And so, wait. One boy was running across the field and said, what am I saying? And I'm saying, how do you want them to believe the gospel? That God is irritated with children. What is, don't make noise near me. Don't you know I'm meditating? Jesus used kids to describe the kingdom. Hallelujah. That's what, you know, in Jesus' meetings, children will be crying. They'll just shh, PR, don't, they are recording the teaching. We are recording this teaching now. We're going on television. Don't. All those modern things that we do. God forgive us. So, how did I start, please? Why did I get me back on track? How did they search by their words? And those words are written. You pick them and you say, ah. Oh Lord. Let my enemies be grounded like powder. I know that the verses you will take. Father, according to the scriptures. Is it not in the Bible? Is it not in the Bible? One guy told me, everything in the Bible. How can you be cherry picking scriptures? There are some scriptures. Don't say that the Old Testament. Don't say that. Yeah. I said, hold on. Call yourself. Just open one verse to him. Look at this. If you wear a cloth of two colors, two cloths of two materials, abomination. You look at me like this. Look at it again. Don't punish the devil. So the search is in the utterances. So we can say they had limited spirit. You explained that before. Limited spirit. All we can rely upon are utterances. We've said they don't have this, they never had the Spirit of God. What they had was what? Utterances. They had the gifts, as it were, of utterance. And it was not charisma. Now, a book that helps us to understand what they might have had or what they should have had in the Old Testament, interestingly, is the book of Acts. Do you know that if you read the book of Acts without the epistles, you will think that speaking in tongues is an experience. None of you know that. You will think that speaking in tongues is an experience. Because every time it was taught in the book of Acts, it was something that just happened to people once. Am I making sense? And that's really why many people didn't come out of it safely. Now, look at this. Look at how Peter taught the things of the Spirit. Acts 2. Verse 38. We're going to run through some verses of scripture quickly. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, that word gift is Doria. Doria. D-O-R-E-A. You know, Paul taught us the gifts as charisma. Now, why did Peter use Doria? Pay attention, please. This is very vital. Doria. Now, Acts 11:17, where he described the same thing, Acts 11:17. Acts 11:17. For as much as God gave them the like Doria, Acts 10:45, because on the Gentiles was poured out the Doria of the Holy Ghost. Doria. Acts 8:20. That's Simon the sorcerer. Acts 8:20. Thou hast taught that the Doria of God may be purchased with money. Now, in John 4:10, Jesus said the same thing to that woman. If thou knew the Doria of God, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. John 4:10. That woman at the well. He would have given you the Doria. He would have given, if you knew the Doria of God, you would have asked of him and he would have given to you living water. Now, look at Romans 5. Paul used it as well for righteousness. But whenever, now this is a very careful way of using words. Please listen very well. Whenever, look at that, Romans 5. Romans 5. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Free gift. Free gift. Doria. Pete, listen to this. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the gift by grace, which is by one, Jesus Christ, and abundant unto many. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Now, when he speaks about, pay attention here, the gift of righteousness here, notice that he was talking about the obedience of Jesus. An act. Doria is an act. An act. Pay attention, please. Please pay attention. An act. What is called the gift of righteousness? He says, if by verse 18, the righteousness of one upon all men unto justification of life. The obedience of one, verse 19. So, Doria is an act. Charisma is what? Huh? Is what? A possession. So, throughout the book of Acts, that was why the things of the Spirit were described like an act. Not a charisma. Are you following what I'm saying here? Doria is an act. If you knew the gift of God, what God gave. The fact that God gave. So, Doria is an act. It was never taught in the book of Acts as something that belongs to us. Now, look at, I'm coming to one very vital scripture. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:15. This will explain the Old Testament to you. 2 Corinthians 9, Doria. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gifts. For his unspeakable gift. Something that he did, an act. Ephesians 3:7. Ephesians 3:7. So that's why Doria is on the part of the donor. Ephesians 3:7. I was made a minister according to the gifts of the grace of God given unto me. See, personal. Something God gave. The giving of the first verse, chapter 4, verse 7. He gave gifts unto men. No, sorry. The measure of the gift of Christ. Grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The gift of Christ, there is the act of Christ. An act of Christ. What's that act? He gave gifts unto men. An act. So Doria is an act. Hebrews 6:4. the heavenly gifts. So Doria describes more of what the giver did than the gift itself. Charisma describes the gift. Are you following what I'm saying? Charisma describes the gift. So Doria describes. So go to Acts 2. Acts 2 verse 4. And you know that every time we describe, every time you hear Doria, it's a particular action. The book of Acts was about tongues, an interpretation of tongues. That's what we're talking about, an action. So Acts 2, 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As he gave them utterance. The word gave is didomi, D-I-D-O-M-I. As he gave them utterance to offer. To offer. So those words still describe what God did to us, not what we have from him. That's why the book of Acts was based on experiences. They spoke. But Paul's teaching about tongues was what we speak. So, pay attention. Now, the word, listen carefully. So, the word utterance here, the word utterance here, as they spoke in other, as the Spirit gave them utterance, you see it in 14, Acts 2. Be this known unto you, akin to my words. My words. Particular words. Acts 26:25. For the king knoweth of these things, of whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was done, not done in a corner. So, it looks like when they use this word here, utterance, I'll spell it for you, A-P-O-P-H-T-H-O, double G-O-M-A-I. I'll say it again, A-P-O-P-H-T-H-O, double G-O-M-A-I. It is special speaking. It's special speaking. Whereas when Paul was talking about utterances in the epistles, he uses the word laleo, regular speaking. So Paul's teaching was a charisma, something that is part of you. Peter and Co, or Peter here majorly, describes the experiential part. So this describes what the, you know why a Luke will record things like this, or Peter will speak like this, because they have an Old Testament experience of utterances, which was an experience thing. Something I will say today, and I will say tomorrow. Something I will say maybe once a year. And that's the way they describe tongues in the book of Acts. But Paul clarified it. Now, there are diversities of charisma, but the same Spirit. Hallelujah. So that means it is where? It is in the Spirit. It is not an experience. Hallelujah. God does not give you tongues every time you are speaking. Tongues is a charisma. That's why he said, he that speaks, there is he that speaks, the man that is born again. Meanwhile, in the book of Acts, it was described as an experience. Let me see if I follow what I'm saying here. So that tells us how, why would they document like that? Because they had an Old Testament thinking. So utterances in the Old Testament were experiences. So what we will see, that's why we said the Old Testament folks did not have the Holy Ghost. Did you notice that there was no place in the entire book of Acts where we were taught that the Holy Ghost lives in us. Not one place. You will read a portion in the book of Acts that calls us sons. So there was an Old Testament thinking in the way it was written. Oh, you hear new birth. The only person that was called the Son of God in the entire book of Acts was Jesus. You find the word in Christ. You even find the fact that we are made righteous. So it was taught from that point of view. So in the Old Testament, their utterances were experiences. They did not have the Holy Ghost in them. That word upon is an Old Testament expression. I told you that experience of the things of the Spirit that they had uttered was in their spirit, it's not in their head. Upon just means an experience, something that everybody can see. So, we cannot trust their perception. We can't. We can't trust. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 again, verse 9. But it's written, I have not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So we cannot trust what they saw. We can't trust what they heard. We can't trust how they thought. We can only trust some things they said. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can't trust what they saw. We can't trust what they heard. They don't even know. Many of the Old Testament prophets didn't even know whether it was God speaking or not. It is here that we can separate their experiences for them. A man cannot be spiritually dead and you trust his perception of God. It's so unreliable. We can't trust what they said of what they saw of God. We can only see what they said about Jesus. And the way we know is by the Spirit of Truth. So, we can't trust it. What were they doing? They were searching. They were searching. That's why I told you in the initial sermon series, you cannot believe everything they said. You'll be the most confused human being in this world. That means you'll be believing in all their searches. Look at Psalm 2. Let's view a few things. Hallelujah. How many of you understand what I just said now? Is it clear? You can't trust everything that they said. Psalm 2. I don't know why I'm focusing on David today. I didn't plan to, but I found out I should. Psalm 2, not just, this is not David. Watch this. Why do the heathen raise the people in mind against him? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and his anointed. Lord, break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Now please, tell me where this one comes to play. Ask of me, I will give you the earth for inheritance, the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. Thou shalt break them of the rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You see, can you see what is coming out? And be wise now, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. For when is not his kingdom, for a little, blessed are all that put their trust in him. Can you see? What's going on? Can't you see confusion there? Hallelujah. Meanwhile, what is the good news in that entire psalm? Verse 7. But you know you can
You can build a prayer meeting on the last verse. Look at the last verse. Brethren! Psalm 2! Brethren, verse 11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice. I can't rejoice with trembling. Kiss his heart! Not mouth to mouth. Let him be angry. Is Chris crazy? And you perish on the way. Brother, have you kissed his heart? Hallelujah. He was searching for the Son. But we have the Son. Hallelujah. So we can't take everything he said. We're seeing the words of a man looking for salvation. Praise God. Are you still there? So you see mixture. Look at Psalm 8. Plenty, plenty. Oh, oh Lord our God. I like this verse so much because it was a song I used to like in my secondary school fellowship. The song was very sweet song. Sweet song. In those days. You know, it's these days down that you will play a lot of rock. When we were younger, rock music was called the devil's music. Rock music. And rap. I remember when Kaman, you know Kaman? When somebody played Kaman, I just shook my head. I said, the Bible says, after I preached unto others, I myself become a castaway. Don't you know rap is of the devil? The root of rap. So, and I was explaining myself. You have not studied your Bible. You are looking for the root of rap. So, there's this song we say, oh Lord our God, how excellent your name is. How excellent your name in all the earth. Your glory fills the heavens beyond the parting stars. How excellent your name in all the earth. When I look into the heavens, the glory of the stars, I wonder what a God I think you are. But you saved me and you love me. You've given me a song. And now I praise your name. See that though? You saved me and you love me. You gave me a song. And now I praise your name eternally, eternally. Oh Lord my God, how excellent your name is. And we lost the key thing there. In this place, oh Lord our God, I say your name is in all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. A man is starting, looking up. That's where we get the song from. What's that song again? Oh Lord my God, when you took the place of David. Awesome wonder, consider all the works the hands of faith, I see that you are tired. Are you an atheist? I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers. The moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man? We never sang that in our song, that thou art mindful of him. Now the son of man that you visit him, you have made him a little lower than the angels. Who can that him be? And crown him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Then he moved back again. How the sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. Look at that. And the fast food, fast of the sea. Oh Lord our God, how excellent. Can you see that? Now remove verse 4 to verse 6. Verse 7 is the continuation of verse 3. So, verse 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, he sends knowledge. Verse 4 and 5, verse 4, 5 and 6 is Christ Jesus. That's why go to Hebrews 2. So when he was looking around, he was searching. And that is still your own praise worship. Dancing my soul, my Savior God. I saw by saying, God to thee, how great, he's great because of his stars. No.
Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. Are you learning something? But in a certain place, verse 6, testifies saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou art crowned with glory and honor. Thou art standing over the works of your hands. Thou put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under his feet, let none that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Verse 9, who are we seeing? So that statement was about who? Jesus. In the midst of all sorts. See where Jesus, how many verses? Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 110. David just calmed down for you. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Are you there? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget all his benefits. Who forgives all thine iniquities? Who heals all thy diseases? Who redeems thy life from destruction? Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles? Watch, O. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses. How? It's acts of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. They can't, how can, you know, this is really contradictory. They still can't find that, how can he be all merciful? He still, there's anger, but he's just slow. Slow to anger and pleasure in mercy. He will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He had not, then look at it, he now moved back. He has not dealt with us after our sins and rewarded us according to our iniquities. What are you talking about? Stay in one place. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Can you see? He has moved here. He has said to all that fear him. Verse 6, for all that are oppressed. Verse 7, that fear him. You know, there are two different things. For as far as the east is from the west, so as he removed our transgression from us, like a father pities his children, the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Who is not dust? So you will see, they were searching. Hallelujah. Verse 12 is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Is Christ Jesus. He has removed our transgressions. That's Jesus' work. Praise God. Look at another place. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I knew that before I even knew who the Lord was. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't quote that for yourself. Valley of the shadow of death is spiritual death. Okay? Ha. I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares the table before me in the presence of thy enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is prophetic. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is prophetic about Jesus. Amen. So you always see in their search, they were looking for Jesus. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Go to Psalm 51 to Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Then I kept my silence. My bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. Now, you just said you will not impute sin. I'll confess my trials unto the Lord, and thou forgive the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Who is supposed to think about it? I don't know. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. In the time you can be found. Swallowing the flood of great water, thou shalt not come near unto him. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt prevent me from the trouble, thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee, teach thee the way you should go. I will guide thee with thy hand. Be ye not as the ox or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. You can see things are scattered. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall be compassed about him. Be glad in the Lord, rejoice ye righteous, and shout joy for all their right, upright in heart. Upright in heart in 11. He says uprightness is a blessedness. So you can see works in verse 11 and see faith in verse 1 and 2. In the same psalm. Not a different psalm. The same place. He teaches righteousness by faith in verse 1 and 2. They started ranting, confessing his sins. In the same psalm. In the same psalm. Look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Cast me not, create in me a new heart, a clean heart. What do you think that is? Verse 10. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. What is that is? Cast me not away from your prayer. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me a free spirit. Then, I'll become a minister of the gospel. I'll teach transgressions that way. Sinners have become, he's asking for ministry. Okay? So, you can see that this was a search for salvation. It's not a prayer point for you. This is a man searching for salvation. Searching for the truth concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following this? So always see it in their books. It's carefulness that makes us rightly divide the word of truth. Where you see Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks on the counsel of the ungodly, the seat of the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Which of them? Which of them did anybody ever keep? In this law, he maintains day and night. Which law? 613. How can you maintain the possession of 13 laws in day and night? Psalm 1. These leaves shall not wither. Whatever it does shall prosper. Don't ever use that kind of scripture for yourself. Oh. Joshua 1:8. This is what the Lord shall perform in your mouth. You maintain day and night. Then you shall make your way prosper and have good success. Have you ever done it before? Has that book of the law ever been in your mouth? Do you even know many of it? Do you know the book of the law? The book of the law that has curses. Moses said, he called them and said, say amen. He said amen. Hallelujah. They are right there. Now, we can learn meditation from there, but not on the law. Do you understand? That's how to handle the Old Testament. So, we'll see a search. A search. So, faith will only be found in their writings where Christ is mentioned. Or where Christ is implied or spoken of. Anything in the Old Covenant that demands performance is not faith. Anything that points to you is not faith. You discover that the things concerning Christ are the things that don't talk about the speakers. Have you observed that? Have you observed that? That in the Old Testament, the things concerning, what is faith there is when it is not talking about the speakers. What they have done or what they have not done. So, go to Hebrews 11 quickly. Hebrews 11 defines that dispensation. So when faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now the word now. So the now. Faith is now. If it's not then now, faith is not faith. Hallelujah. Well, it's unfortunate. But the word now is the Greek word emi. E-I-M-I. Amen. It's used for things like therefore or on the other hand. So on the other hand, faith is, or therefore, the Old Testament, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So two things we are going to see, things hoped for, things not seen. So faith in the Old Testament will be the things not seen and things hoped for. It can't be, that's not their conduct. That's not their money. That's not their possession. What is the gospel in the Old Testament? What they didn't have. Are you there? Uh-huh. The word substance is the word hypostasis. H-U-P-A-S-T-A-S-T-I-S. Hypostasis. It's used for assurance, confidence, or reality. Many used it for what you can call a title deed, where you have a title document of a property that is, the property is not in your pocket. It's, I have it, it's my own. How do you know? You bring out a paper. That paper is called an hypostasis, something that we can rely upon to prove that it belongs to you. So before Christ was raised from the dead, there was faith as their substance. There was faith as their own evidence. You see that word? Hypostasis, 2 Corinthians 9:4, 2 Corinthians 11:17. But most importantly, or more importantly, will be Hebrews 3:14. Assurance, confidence. Hebrews 1:3. Jesus was also called an assurance, a substance. Hebrews 1:3. The express image of his person. Express image of his person. An assurance of his person. So we can see a person. This assures us of who God is. So notice this. Hope for, not seen, relate with the resurrection of Jesus. That's what we started from. So he calls faith their hypostasis. Again, hypostasis is like something you rely upon. Hypa and histemi. Those are the two words used together. Histemi is H-I-S-T-M-I, which is to stand upon, right? Hypa, H-U-P-E-R, or H-Y-P-E-R, it means be under something. So that means what they were standing on was the promise of the resurrection of Jesus. That was why Abraham, after owning all the properties, after getting to Canaan, he found out that he was not yet in the city. So, all their journeys were their own understanding of what they had. But they all died having not received the promises, but saw them afar off. Are you there? So, look at Hebrews 11:3. Pay attention to this. This is one. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now what is faith again? Faith in the Old Testament. The worlds there refer to the Old Testament. Those times. Okay? Those times. That's why I started explaining those times for you. We started with Abel. Alright? Then Enoch. Then Noah. Then Abraham. Those are the times he's talking about. The times were framed. Framed is the word katatizo, to fit together or to prepare. Katatizo, K-A-T-A-R-T-I-Z-O. Find 13 times used, but particularly in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10:5, a body you have prepared me, katatizo. That is to make fitting together with another. Hebrews 13:21. Same word, katizo, to perfect, to put together. What does it mean? It means that through faith, all those times were put together. That is, those folks, for example, Abel did not see Noah. Noah did not see Isaac. Isaac did not see Moses. But all those times were put together. They were fitted together by what? Faith. So they are fitted together. Through faith we understand that the walls were framed together by the word. By the word. By the word. The word concerning Jesus, it makes everything similar. From Abel to Enoch to Noah to Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, sorry, Joseph, Moses, are you there? Joshua, in the Judges, Rahab the Harlot, and then all the kings. So all of them were put together by faith. So faith is what makes them similar. Do you understand? Faith in who? Christ. That they all had the same hope. They all had the same expectation. So the word evidence, Hebrews 11:1, is eleko. You know that? That which brings faith. Eleko. Evidence of things not seen. A proof. So it binds everyone together. Faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ binds everyone together. Hebrews 12:2. That's why Hebrews 12:1 says, seeing that we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race that is set before us with patience, laying aside the sin that does so easily beset, looking unto who? Uh-huh. Now, why are we to look unto Jesus? Because that was what they were looking unto too. That's what they were looking forward to. So it says, looking unto Jesus. Why did he say we should look unto Jesus? He said, look, in verse 39 and 40, he said, they all died, having not received the promises, for they without us were not made perfect. Now, let me explain that they without us, Hebrews 11:39, 40, were not made perfect. So, pay attention here now. He says they all died expecting. They were looking forward to. They all died. So, their faith was hope. Right? Do you understand that? Their faith was what? Hope. Helpizo. Their faith was hope. They were expecting something to happen. Now, Hebrews 12:2 now says, Jesus, the author, and then what? So, where was he the author? The Old Testament. Where is he the finisher? Today. Do you understand? Today, he has accomplished the promise. That's why Hebrews 12 says, the author and finisher, it didn't say of our faith. If it says our faith, that will mean that it's the author and finisher of faith. Faith for them was hope. Faith for us is done. Who sits at the right hand of God, which was their hope. That was their expectation. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? So, faith for them was future. Faith for us is past. Now, faith for them is no longer future. Because it has been accomplished. So, faith for them was a hope. Faith for us is hope accomplished. Promise fulfilled. Is that clear? So, imagine having to hold on to the words of the prophet carelessly. Words of expectation. Words of expectation. We see in their words today, hope of what we have today. Is that clear? Is that clear? So when faith is spoken of in the Old Testament, it's in a promising sense. We are the recipients. It's in a promising sense. Go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Are you there? Look at Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear, lest, verse 1, a promise being left of us, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached, I finished last week, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Okay? So, He's saying that the gospel was preached then as well as now. Are you there? As well as now. Go to Psalm 110 one more time. Let's see David one more time. Psalm 110. Psalm 110. Let's read it together. Psalm 110. Read now. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make what? Okay. Thine enemies your footstool. Pay attention. Look at verse 5. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. Verse 6. He will judge among the heathen. He will fill the place with dead bodies. He will wound the earth over many countries. Abba. Verse 7. He shall drink of the book in their way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. So, in the day when this was said, this will be talking about wars against the kings of the earth. Meanwhile, in the midst of it was a prophecy. Look at the prophecy. Verse 1, verse 2. Notice verse 1, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and shall not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of what? Melchizedek. So he's speaking about Jesus. So when this was, but notice that this verse was closed to the audience. That's why Jesus asked a very vital question in Matthew 22, verse 44. Matthew 22, verse 44. Verse 41 says, Jesus asked them, saying, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, of David. Then he said, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand, till I make your enemies footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? Everybody just kept quiet. But from that day, they didn't ask him any more questions. They were just, they couldn't see what was being said. Psalm 110 verse 1. You see that verse quoted? That, just that verse 1. Also in Mark 12, 36, the same scenario. Luke 20, 42. Mark 12, 36. Luke 20, 42. Then you will see it in Acts 2:34, speaking about the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:25, Hebrews 1:13, 1 Peter 3:22, Hebrews 10, verse 10 to 13. I'll say it again, Acts 2:34, 1 Corinthians 15:25, Hebrews 1:13, Hebrews 1:3 as well, 1 Peter 3:22, Hebrews 10, 10 to 13. So, that was an utterance of faith about Jesus. About Christ. Hallelujah. Now, you see, it was said in the midst of other things. Imagine to now do a teaching on God striking the kings of the earth. What is the prophetic implication of Brexit? People have been looking for Antichrist. Obama is no longer Antichrist because he's leaving government. At the time he was Osama bin Laden. The other time he was Saddam. In my own lifetime, I've seen 5 Antichrists killed. 5. What they don't understand, the Antichrist is not a person. It's a doctrine. It's a doctrine. Some people don't know that they already have Antichrist in their lives. It's a doctrine. They are looking for somebody who will now, let's even look at it. In, just be a bit sensible. In just normal terms. Just think. Do you know that? As, just be historical. I study a bit of history. Just by looking at history, it is not possible again for any single person to control the world.
in just let's put up logically. If anything controls all of us, it's the media. Antichrist is an information. 666. I'm joking on 666. So really, people, you put it, that's how ignorance is born. Ignorance would let, you won't see what is being said. He said the spirit is already in the world. That was how many years? 2,000 years ago. Osama was not born there. Obama was not born there. Pope John Paul was an antichrist in my own time. Pope John Paul said, he's going to divide the world. Just Adam. There was one like King Juan Carlos. I preached that one. That I saw his military training. He had this, he had that. Until Juan Carlos handed over. I said, yeah. So people have said all these kind of things, you know. The truth of the matter is, the Antichrist is not. It's just like when we say Satan. You see, anyone, the highest operation of the devil is in a belief system. If there's talking one blackish guy like Pastor Jakes to appear to you, it's a figure of speech. So appear to you and call him devil. Hallelujah. So, okay, I think last week we looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. Can we look at it again? Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, look at it, Genesis 18 and 19. Hallelujah. This is your first time, sorry, we don't entertain here. Endure. Endure God's word. How can a believer endure God's word? And you see through a concert and you didn't sleep 3 hours. That's the endurance. You can't endure God. You are born of the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 18 and 19. You will see two people. Sodom and Gomorrah. The first person is Abraham. Okay? And last week, we looked at the reference of Sodom and Gomorrah. Where were they quoted again? There's this belief system that God just looked at Sodom and Gomorrah and got extra angry. Ah! What? What are you doing? Uriel! Michael! You allowed this to happen? Don't miss Law in Genesis on Saturday. Don't. Matthew 10. Let's see where Jesus used it. And I explained to you the other time. Matthew 10:15. I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. What was he talking about? If you enter a city to preach the gospel, and they don't receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of the city or house, shake off the dust of your feet. So, it relates Sodom and Gomorrah to those who did not receive those that God sent to them. Someone listen to what I'm saying. Now, again, then you see the same instance. Of course, let me just cite that. Mark 6, 11 to 12. He actually said the same thing. Mark 6, 11 to 12. Mark 6, 11 to 12. Same thing. Then Luke 10, 12. Now look at Luke 17:29. Let's hurry. Luke 17:29. Luke 17:29. It says, "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Likewise," now why did he use Lot? Pay attention. In verse 27, "they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given a mind until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." Did you notice that? He said it was when Noah entered the ark that destruction came. Pay attention. "Likewise, in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, and they planted and they built it.
What was the point? So that she saw the Son of Man. It was obvious that he was saying that judgment will come after the gospel has been rejected. So when he spoke about, you know, when he spoke about the days of Noah, for example, he's talking about judgment. Judgment at the end of the age, when the gospel has either been received or rejected. So he used a similar example, days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't forget that. Lot left and also Noah. So let's come back. Go to Matthew 11. At no instance did Jesus single out anybody's sin. Do you know that what they said, they were just eating and drinking? He did not mention any particular sin. Somebody follow what I'm saying here. Jesus did not mention any particular sin. He just said they were eating and having. He didn't even mention any particular sin. You say, is there anything wrong in eating and drinking? No, that was what he was saying. The fact that they rejected what Noah was saying and saved him as Lot. We'll see that soon. Look at this. Matthew 11:22. I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Why? Again, verse 24. It will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. What was he talking about? Verse 19. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man, a wine barber. So in this case, he's talking about eating and drinking, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified by her children. Then he began to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. So he was talking about them not believing. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you get it? A rejection of Christ was why he said that it would be more tolerable for them for the land of Sodom in judgment than for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you following this? No particular sin was spoken about. If anything, what has been consistent so far? Huh? Hey, talk to me. Rejection of salvation. Can somebody follow what I'm saying here? That's been consistent so far. So, go to 2 Peter 2. Lot. And the turning of, let's take verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example of those that should after live ungodly. Watch what he was saying. And delivered just Lot, vexed with them. Feel the conversation of the wicked. Now, I want us to be very careful here. That verse 8. For the righteous man dwelling among them, he seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The King James didn't help us here at all. At all. Now, the person who was vexed in verse 7 was who? Was who? Lot. What does vex mean there? Is the Greek word kataponeo. K-A-T-A-P-O-N-E-O. It means to wear somebody out. To ill-treat. To wear out. That is, he kept talking and they kept mocking him. He kept speaking to them and they kept mocking him. The second verse you see is Acts 7:24. So they wore him out. They wore him out. They practically rejected him. That's what they did to Lot. Why did he say that about him? Verse 8. He's seeing blema, means to take a glance. Hearing. Now, why did he say hearing? The word hearing there is the word reporting. Reporting. Akohe. A-K-O-E. Is used for news, a message. So, all along, Lot was what? What was he doing there? He was preaching. And they rejected him. That's the vexation. They rejected him. His message. So the issue with Sodom and Gomorrah was the message. Was a rejection of salvation. It's not a particular sin. Go to Romans 9. Verse 29. Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth has left us a seed, we have been as Sodoma and have been made like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained righteousness, even righteousness of faith. But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness have not attained the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. So, a similar, again, expression of Sodom here is those who have rejected righteousness by faith. Are you listening here? Is not Sodom was not destroyed out of God's anger for a particular sin. It's a deception. It's a total miscommunication of the character of God. So come back again. Let's see. Do you notice that in Genesis 18, Abraham was discussing what we call intercession about Sodom, where he said, if you find 50, if you find 30, if you find 20, if you find 10, do you know that that experience was not noted again in Scripture? You know why? Because it was a failure. Nobody referred. We just use it today for prayer. It was not used by anybody. It's one of those things that Abraham was justified by faith. What did he need to do? Ask me. What should he have done? He chilled where he was, enjoying his SUV. He should have gone there to what? To preach. Sodom was not destroyed till Lot left. If Lot stayed there, nothing would have happened. Notice that every time that incident is mentioned, it is after Lot left. If Lot had stayed, nothing would have happened. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Abraham's intercession was not mentioned. Not once. So, when Abraham, for example, look at this thing. When he says that if you find the righteous in your head, don't ever think that Abraham is saying, find somebody who does not sin. He can't say it. Abraham understood righteousness as believing God. Do you understand? So, when Abraham said, if you find the righteous, he said, if you find those who believe. Abraham was called righteous because he did what? Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for what? Righteousness. Abraham was not talking about good conduct. Oh, pay attention to this. So anybody who in his head thinks that the problem in Sodom was homosexuality needs prayers. There was no sin called homosexuality in the book of Genesis. Let me say it again. There was no sin like that. The only thing in the book of Genesis was unbelief. There was no sin like that. Until the law, sin was in the world, but it was not what? Imputed. That was why in the book of Genesis, people were marrying their sisters. You don't know?
and they were telling lies. Abraham lied and he made money. I showed you last week Abraham's blessings. Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you know that in Genesis chapter 4, go and study it well. Do you know that Cain was not in any way upbraided for murder? Go and read it. Because sin was not what? Imputed. There is no homosexuality in Genesis. I'm not saying as a sin. I'm not saying homosexuality is not a sin, no. I taught that last week. So, don't relate what happened in Sodom to homosexuality. It was unbelief. People in the days of Noah, they said they were eating and drinking. What was in their heart? That their heart was... Well, did you see anything they did wrong in the days of Noah? It was unbelief. So anybody thinking that when a place is destroyed today because it's a gay club, that God was angry, needs a screw to be replaced in his head. In as much as homosexuality is a sin, it is what is a sin. It's not a sinful sin. It's not the sin, it's not the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Neither is it the sin that all the sin except homosexuality. No, it's a sin. It's a result of a man rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ, either as faith in his life or in his conduct. Nothing more than that. So, don't ever think there was incest in Genesis. And again, when people begin to quote, but the Bible says, let's go to Romans 1. Quickly, I need to handle this. Maybe I'll take it on next week. Romans 1, when he was mentioned again, which was in verse 26 to 27, again was referring to the law. That all may be declared guilty. Romans 3:19. Say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in no way, pay attention to this, can we ever use the law as a basis. We'll come back to the define sin in the epistles. That's why we know that it's a sin because it is so taught in the epistles. It's not a sin because you imagined something happening in Sodom. No. Whatever destroyed Sodom was not homosexuality, was not plenteous gays and lesbians. Was unbelief. Are you there? If anything, did we not see Lot and his children? Did you see it? Eh? It was a cryptos from you, Musterion. Did you see it? Did they die? Eh? Did they die? Did they die? Daddy and daughter. Amen. Let's go on. Deuteronomy 22. Let me tell you how hopeless you will be with the law. A woman shall not wear that which pertaineth, verse 5, unto a man. Shall a man put on a woman's garment? I always say, what is it? For all that are so abomination unto the Lord thy God. Then in verse 8, if you build a new house, you shall make a battlement of thy roof, thou shalt not bring, so that you will not bring blood upon your house, if a man shall fall else. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, let the fruit of thy seed which thou have sown, and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled.
Thou shalt not plow an ass and an ox together. You shall not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Thou shalt make the fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, whither thou covers thyself. Say, if you have a, don't let me go further.
That thing is so much. Do you know that the law disqualifies if you have bow leg? Why now?
If your leg is like this.
No! Should I go into it for you? You tell me the law, have they read it? Because all the law points out is man's imperfection. You know, bow leg is imperfection.
Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 78. Amen. So, we must handle their words with caution. It's when we don't study that we teach it without caution. Psalm 78 verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable and will utter dark sayings. That word dark sayings is the word riddles. Riddles is the Hebrew word chidah, C-H-I-D-D-A-H. C-H-I-D-D-A-H. Where you put a truth in the midst of a story. In fact, it's used for what, that which perplexes. You see it in Daniel 8:23, Habakkuk 2:6. It's also used for, say, I will speak in a dark saying, in a parable. The word parable is the word mashal. M-A-S-H-A-L. It's used for proverbs, analogies. So you can't find 38 times used in Hebrew. You can't find clear statements. They're analogies. They're parables. And interestingly, this speaks also of the ministry of Jesus. We'll see it soon. In the ministry of Jesus, okay, second service. We'll see it soon. Okay, so look at Matthew 13, 34. Jesus taught the same way. They were parables. So to confirm, Matthew 13, 34, to confirm Psalm 78, riddles. How many have done riddles here, people? Riddles? You've been given riddles before? A riddle normally will confuse you. I am something. Whatever you are, let you be. That means every riddle needs an explanation. Now, so imagine you doing a series on an Old Testament concept. At the end of the day, your members will be as riddled. Just be looking. To whom shall we go? Because what you have successfully done is teach riddles. That's what you have done. It's a riddle. A riddle will always have the truth somewhere. Same as a parable. Look at the parable of the prodigal son and father. Jesus was talking about Israel. For us, that's become evangelism. A riddle. He says in Matthew 13, 34, the things that were hidden. Hidden is something inside. There's something inside that we need to unveil. That's why we say the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. So it requires study. Don't just pick a verse. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't just pick a verse in the Old Testament and lament it upon people's heads. Hallelujah, brethren. In the year King Uzziah died. Brethren, who is the King Uzziah in your life? I don't want to ask King Uzziah in your life. King Uzziah died thousands of years ago. I saw the Lord. To see the Lord, King Uzziah has to die. Some of us, your King Uzziah is the car you drive. Some of you, look at the King Uzziah in your life. And you are looking for King Uzziah. Is that not a riddle?
You
know this, that the cover head, where am I? That is that sermon for you. That's how you discover that when people preach from the Old Testament like that, you never find rest at the end of the day. There's always something you don't have. There's always something you have not done. And there's always something you have done. Brethren, search your. Are you qualified? And that's how people have built ministries today. Last week, you preached to us about salvation. We came out. We were saved. This week, what has happened in the last 1 week? 1 week expiry date. In your life, it always will create riddles. Know why? That is exactly what it is. But thank God for the Spirit of God. He will guide us into all of the truth. Look at Isaiah quickly and we'll close on Isaiah. Isaiah 1. You can see Isaiah was just as confused. Don't blame him. He was searching. You know, I've never tried to do searches before. You know, you sometimes you get tired. You can even say, this thing does not exist. And they will write it down. It is written. It's not the same thing, y'all. It is written. I form light, I form darkness. The same guy will now say, arise and shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is in upon thee. Darkness shall cover thee. Even gross darkness is people. Bros, take one now. How can you say darkness is the people that don't believe? Now you say, I form darkness, I form light. See, I was such. Hallelujah. Isaiah 1, are you learning something? Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as red as crimson, they shall be wool. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. That's not eating money. Mm-hmm. But look at the same person, you know. Isaiah 1:19. So 3:16. I'll close here. 3:16. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with daughters of Zion is not you. It's not you. And walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes. You know what that is? See where prophet came jobless. He's criticizing catwalking. Prophet. This is joblessness. See the daughters of Zion. You did it today, Seth. Isaiah has finished you. Stretching forth their necks. That is, you know. And wanton eyes. You know what that is? Walking and mincing as they go. That's what we want. Even my daughter does it. And making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite the scab. The scab of the head of the daughter of Zion. The Lord will discover their secret parts. Brethren. Is this how you walk? In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet. That is using leg chain. And their cords and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. The bonnet. This thing is a salmon in some places. And the headbands and tablets and hair rings. They are finished. The rings and nose jewels. I'm saying, you see the Bible again, nose jewels. Which one is it for? Don't put ring here. It's culture. Which one is the Bible for? Is there a Bible dressing? Answer now. Is there a Bible dressing? Show me the book of Taylor in the Bible. The unchangeable suits of apparel, the mantle, the wimples, the scripture, the glasses, the fine linen, the hoods, and the veils. It shall come to pass. Instead of the sweet smell, shall be stink. A girl erect, tell of a well, set here, baldness. Because of the stomach, I got enough sackcloth and bone. He's just angry. This man is just angry. Maybe his daughter is not fine. He's just angry. Look at the same man, oh. Isaiah 53, who has believed our report. See him. Isaiah 53, who has believed our report. Surely he has borne our griefs.
carried our sorrows. Yes, he's speaking of our spirit, I'm afflicted. He has wounded for our transgression. What did he say? Our, including himself. Put for iniquity, the channel of the blood was open, and with his stripe we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. So a man that had gone astray was angry. We have turned everyone to his own way, verse 6, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. The same person in chapter 3. Look at chapter 54. Verse 8. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But everlasting kindness have I showed, have I mercy on thee, said the Lord thy Redeemer. Let's take verse 9 together. And this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, shall I swear, as verse 1, that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke you. Hallelujah. So who was angry? Thank you. It was angry, guys. Why? Because the law, I showed you that the law works wrath. He was just angry. You know, you can do a sermon on people's hairstyle. Hallelujah. Today I want to talk about glorifying God with your head. Brethren, are you glorifying God with your head? When you walk on the road, do men look at you lustfully? Why are they looking at you lustfully? Because you have a seducing spirit. The man does not know that he is the one that has seducing spirit. Seducing spirit is not to make people commit fornication. Seducing spirit is to deceive them with scriptures. Sir, you have a seducing spirit, sir. Hallelujah. The Bible says if a woman has long hair, it is glory to her. Some people are using it for Asmodeus, Incubus, Cubus, spirit of Mammy Water. Can't this just be fine? Can't the woman just be pretty? Say, even some of you say, that sister, are you sure she's not an agent? An agent of beauty. He's a confused man. Are you there? Look at what it says in verse 17. No weapon fall against a prosper. And it says, this is the heritage of the sons of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. You can see his life. Their righteousness is of me. The man is signing out. Says, it's not my own, it's my righteousness. So why are you looking for headbands? Catwalking. Anybody can catwalk. Take your eyes away, Mr. Isaiah. Amen. So say, if God wanted you to have a ring, you would have been born with a hole in your ear. Clap for yourself. You are very intelligent. You are the most intelligent person in your dynasty. You have tried. you have tried. You have really tried. He would have done it for you. You have tried. And you cut your nails. It's not the work of God you are taking out of. Leave your hair like that. Oshisko. You have tried. The law can be brutal. Amen. I know, because most of the people, most of those in the Old Testament who spoke were men. Have you discovered they targeted women a lot? They were men, angry men. Probably whose wives were not beautiful. Or who didn't even have any. Amen. I think I'll try and close here. Not yet. Did you notice that Peter's sermons changed? Acts 2, he was less angry. Acts 2, he was looking angry. Send yourself from this untoward generation. Calm down. It's called good news. But Acts 3, he said, whom you killed, whom you slew. By Acts 4, he was calming down. Acts 5. By Acts 10, he was calmer. Do you notice that there was less tension in his sermon in Acts 10? Because he had discovered that, so all this law had been keeping. Zero. By Acts 15, he just said, look, all of us cannot bear this yoke. It is by the grace of Jesus Christ that we shall be saved. He had become a new creature. He had calmed down. Don't go and take your sermon from angry Peter. Take it from the guy that met Paul and he became a believer in Christ. Figure of speech. Jesus and Moses. I'll run through this. Jesus said, Moses said what I say. Amen. In John 5, he said, Moses has accused you, I will not accuse you. In John 6, Moses gave you bread, I am the living bread. There's always correction in the epistles of everything done in the Old Testament. Jesus corrected Elijah. He said, a greater than Elijah is here. He corrected Elijah. He said, don't you know the spirit that you are of? When the disciples wanted to call down fire, he corrected John the Baptist. Jesus corrected David. He corrected Solomon. He said, Solomon in all his glory is not as arrayed as this was. So, we are in a covenant of revelation. Hallelujah. We don't have redos here. We don't have analogies here. We have the truth in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to round up this temporary next week just to put some things, you know, in perspective. But you see, the essence of this study is for us to take our Bibles and not be scared. Amen. You take your Bible and you are not wondering, why is this? It's not contradictory. You are seeing men who were searching for the truth. And then we that have found the truth, we look at why, how they searched, and it causes us again to worship God and thank Him. Amen. That Father, thank you. I don't have to go through all this. Praise God. I have found the truth in Christ Jesus. I have seen God. Amen. I believe in the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't believe in the God that Isaiah preached. I can't believe in the God that Moses preached. But I believe in the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So no one has seen God at any time, save the Son of Man, which is in the bosom of the Father. That's why God, in the vision, He said to Isaiah, He said to Moses and Elijah, He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Hallelujah. This is my revelation. This is who I am. Praise God. Are you glad this morning? Lift your hands toward heaven and worship Jesus. Bless Him. Give Him praise.